So power encounter, that's where we're going today. And we're going to talk about the greatest power in the world. And to do that, I want to begin by going to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 37. And we'll come back to this story here in just a little bit. This is how it goes. And the same day, this is verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. A great storm of wind and waves beating into the ship. Let me ask you a question as we begin here today. How many of you have ever faced a storm or a giant or an obstacle in your life, and no matter what you tried, you could not overcome it on your own? If you've ever been there, would you raise your hand? Just an obstacle, insurmountable. Man, I'm so glad that we're all in the same boat, right? If you didn't raise your hand, we'll have a sermon series on lying later on. We'll take care of that. But we're all there. We're all at times faced with obstacles that we can't overcome. Now, you know I like to talk about food. I'll make this fast. Because I'm finding out more and more how influential I am when it comes to food. I talked about Flip's Burgers a week ago, and somebody came up to me this morning, you know, saying, man, we went and tried it, and they didn't like the fried pickles. I'm not sure what was going on there. But I went to Famous Dave's a couple of weeks ago, and there were 20 people from Lifesong there. So I'm seeing there's some influence going on. But my wife and I and our family, we were sitting down the other day and we were watching this episode of Man versus Food. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Man versus Food. Okay, this guy goes around the country and he finds these restaurants that serve a particular meal in a huge proportion, right? It's like 5 to 8 pounds of food. And he sits down and he tries to eat this entire thing by himself. And so we're looking at this, and this particular episode was about Parker's Hot Dogs in Roseville. Okay, up north of Sacramento. And so he sits down, and there's 5 quarter-pound hot dogs with buns. There's 3 pounds of chili poured over it, 1 pound of French fries, and about 1 pound of cheese grated up over that with onions and everything, all on a tray, not a plate, on a tray. And my son, as we're watching this, my son got it in his head that he wanted to take on what is called the knucklehead challenge at Parker's Hot Dogs in Roseville. He wanted to try it. And so yesterday, after many, many months of delaying and trying not to do this, we decided, okay, we're going to have a family day. We're going to go do some things. And we ended up at Parker's Hot Dogs in Roseville. And before Luke was a tray filled with hot dog, chili, fries, and cheese. Now, as my son was looking at it, he decided that there was no way on God's green earth that one man could consume this entire tray. And so we decided to take on the challenge as a family. 4 of us. So we had 4 forks, 4 knives, and a pile of food, and we dug in. And I'm telling you, people sitting around us were looking back at our table. Their eyes were getting big. They're like, what is that? And so it was kind of a crazy thing. So we're eating and we're eating. And I'm telling you, we ate and we ate and we ate. I saw some sweat break out on Luke's forehead. And I mean, we were eating and eating and eating. And no matter how long we went, no matter how hard we tried, we finally were full. And when we looked at the tray, we had barely consumed half of what was on this particular tray. And so as you can imagine, we did not get our name on the wall. We did not get a t-shirt. Nothing. In fact, we just walked out of that particular building with a fresh awareness that there are some things in life that we are powerless to accomplish on our own. Somebody said amen. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm done talking about food. All right. But you know what's going on. If you've been watching the news at all, listening to the news, you know what's going on in the world around us. The attention of our nation has been on the East Coast as Hurricane Irene is unleashing its powerful force on the edge of our nation. And it's just another reminder of how weak and how fragile we really are. And because we are weak, we are easily impressed by things like the forces of nature. Anything that is bigger than us, anything that is stronger than us really impresses us. And sometimes we can get so distracted by that which is bigger and stronger than we are that we forget what is the greatest power in all the world. So before we get too distracted, let me give you the first PowerPoint for this morning, and that is this, that God is the source of all power. Let that sink into your spirit for just a moment. God is the source of all power. Romans 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I hope you can receive this right now, because some of us have this idea in our mind that somehow God and the devil are pretty much equal and they're in a wrestling match and we're not sure what the outcome of that is really going to be. I want to declare to you today that God is the source of all power, and there is no enemy, there is no force, there is no obstacle that can stand up to the power of God. So easy to forget that because we're easily impressed. I was thinking about the first century and how the Jewish people would approach the temple. They would come up to this place that was designed, of course, in the mind of God, but constructed by the hands of men. And it was such an impressive place in terms of architecture and size. And it was full of history and tradition. And people were just in awe as they would approach the temple. And yet one day, as people were milling around in the temple and they were in such awe of this physical construction, Jesus finally spoke up and he blurted out these words, verse 6 of Matthew 12. He said, that in this place is one greater than the temple. They were milling around. They were talking. They were speaking of the things of the past. Well, do you remember when the Red Sea parted? Do you remember how we came into the promised land and the walls of Jericho fell flat? Do you remember how God gave us a king and David was a great king? And oh, do you remember Solomon? Solomon was such a great king. In fact, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And they were talking about all of these things from their past. And finally, Jesus spoke up and he spoke these words in verse 42. He said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Isn't that amazing? So distracted by the stuff around them, they weren't even aware that the greatest power in the world was walking amongst them. Greater than the temple, greater than Solomon. But the question is he greater than a storm? So let's go back to the boat. The waves are crashing, the wind is blowing. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? Verse 39, and he arose, watch this, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Can you fathom, can you picture this in your mind right now on the East Coast? This wind, this 150 mile an hour wind or 110 mile an hour wind or whatever it is. People, 2 million people displaced from their homes, boarding up their windows, running for cover before the ferocity of this storm. And yet we serve a God who is able to speak one word to something that impressive and say, peace, be still. That's how powerful he really is. Jesus reveals to us through this that the power of God is the greatest power in the world. There is nothing bigger. There is nothing stronger. Mark chapter 4, the story we just read, he revealed that God's power is greater than the power of nature. And if you read Mark chapter 5, you'll see that the first story says that God's power is greater than the power of the devil. And if you read the next story, he shows that God's power is greater than the power of death. Some of the things that you and I as humans fear the worst, the forces of nature, the enemy of our soul and death itself, it strikes fear into some of our hearts. And yet he says, no, the power of God is greater than all of these powers in this world. Jesus reveals that the power of God is so much greater. In fact, he reveals that the power of God resides in him. I was reading this verse. I like this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. Paul says, unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I just got this picture in my mind of the people that were, oh man, look at this temple. This is incredible. And Jesus steps up and don't you realize that I am the power of God. They're talking about the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, no, don't you realize that I am the wisdom of God? At the end of his earthly ministry, he says this in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all power. Do you understand the meaning of the word all there? I told you my dad's a Greek scholar. The word all in the Greek language, this is heavy. It means all, right? You got that? All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. So God is the source of all power, and all power resides in Jesus Christ. You ready for this? Say, how does that impact my life? That's great. All power of God resides in Jesus. 2,000 years ago, that's really great. Let me share something with you. Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27. A little secret for you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too, and this is the secret, that Christ lives in you. God is the source of all power. All of his power resides in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ resides in you. Now, if that is the truth, if the greatest power in the world resides within you, then why are you afraid of the enemy of your soul? And why are you afraid of your obstacles? And why would you be afraid of death itself when you serve a God that is more powerful than any obstacle you could face? And he lives within you. Catarino, man, he did a great job up here ministering just a few moments ago. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Watch this, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, I hope that just sinks into your spirit for just a moment and you start to realize that the greatest power in the world is literally living on the inside of you, Pastor James. I felt the Lord. I just kind of saw this vision of the people of Lifesong all of a sudden understanding who they were in Christ Jesus, that they were the children of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God, that they were literally the conduits for the power of God, and the power of God was shooting out of their fingers, out of their mouth when they spoke a word. This is a place where the power of God can be demonstrated through your life. You're going to be laying hands on people and seeing them healed. You're going to be speaking words to people and seeing life come into them. This is what God has for you. He says, I want to unleash my power through my people. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All right, every one of you Greek scholars, tell me, what does the Greek word for all mean? Whew, you guys, I am telling you, that is heavy-duty revelation right there. Over all the power of the enemy. Do you realize that the enemy has no power in your life? That the greatest power in the world resides within you? Why would I ever listen to the voice of that cowering, whimpering, little red-tailed, red-forked little devil who tries to go around whispering defeat and failure into my ears when I am literally the habitation? I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and his power resides in me. I get you. I get you. I'm feeling you right now. I feel it. Some of your spirits right now, you're saying, yeah. You're up there. You preach about the power of God. And you're thinking, you know, you don't know squat about my life. You don't know how many times I sin. You don't know how broken I am. You don't know how messed up. You're talking about the power of God is for people that have their act together. The power of God is for people who know how to pray enough, fast enough, read their Bible enough. The power of God is for people who have been sitting on a church bench for about 37 years and they've got their spiritual maturity down. They know what it's like to be a disciplined follower of Jesus. That's who the power is really for. Don't give me that. Always talking about your limitations. I'm not the tallest. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the best looking. Let me give you the second PowerPoint. And that is that God gives his power to unqualified people. You know why he gives it to unqualified people? Because he can't find any qualified ones. God gives his power to unqualified people. Look at this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called with him, unto him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now that's power. But he gave it to his 12 disciples. You remember Peter? The loudmouth? Peter always sticking his foot in his mouth? He gave him power. Do you remember James and John, the judgmental ones? You want to talk about James and John? I mean, they were so sweet when they saw people that were, you know, kind of not going along with Jesus. They said, what do you want us to do, Jesus? Call down the fire of God from heaven? We'll just destroy him right there. Bam. Judgmental. Judas Iscariot was in that group. And he was given that power. Matthew, the rankest of sinners, the equivalent of an IRS agent. My God, if God will give his power to one of those. If you work for them today, this is a disclaimer. Please forgive me, it was just a joke. God gives his power to unqualified people. Peter knew this. In fact, there was a time, we preached about it a few weeks ago, about this man that was healed at the Gate Beautiful and how he was confronted after that. And people were thinking, how did you do that? And Peter said, I love what he says here in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, Peter saw it and he answered unto the people and he said, you men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why are you looking so earnestly on us as though by our own power or our own holiness we had made this man to walk? Peter had a revelation that when the power of God flows through me, it's not because I have power and it's not because I have some holiness on my own. It is because the power of God is operating in my life. I love the fact that Corinth, the city of Corinth, had the most carnal church. I mean, they were carnal. They were suing one another. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were taking one another. I mean, it was all kinds of nonsense going on in the church at Corinth. But the Bible says that the church at Corinth was the most gifted of all churches. Because that's how God operates. He gives some of his greatest power to the most messed up people. I don't understand it. Things are upside down in the kingdom of God. If you want to be exalted, you've got to humble yourself. If you want to inherit the world, you've got to be meek. It's backwards in the kingdom of God. God gives his power to unqualified people. Let me give you the next one. I'm almost done. I'm hurrying. PowerPoint. God gives his power freely. Freely. Everybody say freely. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. These were the same guys, these same messed up 12 disciples that he's given this power to. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You know, I work with, I am a people. I'm a people. And I know what it's like to struggle with feelings of inadequacy, right? And thinking that God could use me to do great things like raising somebody from the dead. You know, my faith is more like, Lord, give me someone with some psychosomatic illnesses. Give me somebody that thinks they're sick. Give me somebody that struggles with headaches, something not visible. And what's funny is sometimes God uses us and we're not even really expecting him to do such great things. I remember one time, I mean, I was just a kid, man. I was just trying to start preaching and stuff, and I was up in the state of Oregon, man. I'm praying for this guy. First time I'd ever been at this church, you know, I'd never been there before, didn't know this guy. And man, he comes up to the front, and I've been preaching on the power of God. And I was so dumb back then, man. I just said, you know, God can do anything, and I believed it. You know, it's kind of funny. Back then in the day, right? Well, I was kind of, you know, nervous about certain things because you didn't want to get in trouble for practicing medicine without a license, you know, and that kind of stuff, you know. So this guy stands up, and I really felt like the Lord wanted to heal his back, you know. And I figured, man, that's pretty safe. You know, you call for back pain because about 80% of people have back pain, you know. So you say, hey, anybody have back pain? Oh, 80%. Oh, good. Oh, we got some people here to pray for. So I call this guy out, you know, and he comes up to the front. And he says he's got this back pain. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to lay hands on your back. I'm going to pray for you. I'm just a kid, man. I just do nothing except just lay hands on him and pray for him. So I pray for him, and he starts crying. And I'm thinking, well, God's not going to heal his back, but at least he's getting an inner healing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that's good. At least he felt the Lord. You know, that's great, you know. He got done. I was like, well, that was good. I said, how's your back? You know, I said, okay. He said, well, let me try something. So he bent over and touched his toes. I was like, that's good. I'm looking at him touching his toes, and I'm thinking, well, that's good. I don't know how bad your back's messed up. I just thought, that's pretty good. Touch your toes, you know. The church went ballistic. I mean, people are like jumping through the ceiling. They're tearing the paint off the walls. I mean, they're going crazy. I'm like, okay, the guy just bent over and touched his toes. It's not that big a deal. I mean, we just, you know. I didn't realize until afterward when I said, why is everybody so excited about what you just did? He says, you don't understand. I'm 37 years old, and when I was 20, I was working on a roof, and I fell off of the roof, and I landed on my back, and I broke my back, and the doctors fused my spine in a straight line. I have not bent over in 17 years, and God healed my back. Now, let me tell you something. If God can do that through somebody that doesn't even know what they're doing, then what can God do through somebody that knows how to put a little faith in him and realize that his power is the greatest power in the world? Freely you have received, freely give. Acts 1:8, I love it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You say, well, that's great, but how's that work, the Holy Spirit coming on you? Let me give you Acts 2:38. This is after Peter preaches the first sermon after the inauguration of the church. He preaches on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the people were so touched in their hearts, they said, hey, what do we need to do about this? And Peter responds and says, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive, here it is, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you see the connection there? He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But then he said, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It is freely given. It has nothing to do with you. Do you realize that you can't mess it up by being inadequate? And for us religious folks, you can't add to it by being super holy. All right, I'm getting in trouble now. Last one is that God's power is working in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I understand how easy it is to get the cart before the horse. I understand how easy it is to think that somehow it is what I do, it's how good I do it. If I'm really, really good, then God can really, really use me. And if I'm really, really bad, then there's no way God could ever use me. That's kind of a depressing line of thought, because most of us are really, really bad. When you measure us up to God's standard of absolute perfection, we're not there. But let me show you how easy it is for us to mess it up. Because, sometimes we rip verses out of their context within the Scripture, and we try to apply them to our life, and we come up with a skewed theology. I had this experience on Facebook. I don't advise you getting into theological discussions on Facebook. Not a good forum for life change. I'm just telling you. I experienced it yesterday. Okay, but I want to read this verse to you from Philippians 2 and show you how easy it is to get this messed up. Are you ready? It says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Man, could we preach a message right there? You got to work it out. You got to grit your teeth together. You got to put yourself there. You got to work it out. You got to learn how to pray. You got to learn how to fast. You got to learn how to get all the disciplines down. You got to learn how to come to church, how to give your offering. You got to learn it. You got to learn it. You got to work it out. Are we preaching? We're not. Just so you know, this is not preaching. Work out your own salvation, right? We stop right there. Before I give you the last part of that, let me take you to another verse and show you how easy it is to miss the point of what's being said here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. You familiar with this one? What does Romans 3:23 say? For all have sinned. No, back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Woo! Isn't that encouraging? Man. And the Greek tense, that means that all have sinned in the past and all continue to sin in the present. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard entire messages preached on that topic. All. We're back to the Greek word all. The Greek word all means what? All have sinned. All of you. Bunch of reprobates. Man. You're a good sinner, man. The truth is, we could say that to every one of us. We are masters at sinning. We know how to sin. We know how to be broken. We know how to fall. And man, we could preach a whole message about how much we stink, how messed up we are, because we've stopped in the middle of a sentence. See that little semicolon there? Isn't that cool? Short of the glory of God. How about we read it in the context and let's see what the message of the good news really is. Go to the next one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If your faith is in Him, then no matter how much you've fallen in the past, you have been declared righteous and perfect and holy in His eyes because your faith is in Jesus Christ. Best Bible lesson I can give you is read the rest of the sentence. Back to Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Go to the next one. Look at this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I want you to let this just sink into your spirit and you begin to digest this for just a moment. Do you realize that the Bible says, I'm getting off my notes now, but I'm about to get anointed. Do you realize that in the book of Romans, it literally says that there is none that doeth good? No, not one. They have altogether become unprofitable and have gone astray. It even says that there is none that seeks after God. You're in this house today and you're like, well, that's not me. I mean, I seek after God. I love God. I love to come worship. I love to pray. I love to worship, lift my hands. I love to clap. You know what? What this is saying is that nobody is able to do one good thing in their own power. If there is something happening in your life right now, it is the power of God that is working in you. Oh, I hope I can get this across to you, that if you have even the tiniest little spark of something good in your life, that little spark comes. I'm going to speak a word right now. There are people in this place right now that you feel like you have gone too far, you have done too much, you are disqualified, you are not able to be used by God, but you know that you have a stirring in your heart today. You know that there's something welling up on the inside of you, and if you've got that, that is evidence that God, the God who is the greatest power in all the world, is at work in your life. I don't care if you used to be an adulterer. God can use you. I don't care if you used to be a drunk on the street side. God can use you to demonstrate His power in the world. I'm wearing myself out, so I gotta stop. My. Do you realize God cares less about our brokenness than we care about it? See, He took care of it. He took care of it. He said, look, if you'll just trust me, if you'll believe in what I did on the cross, I'll take care of all that brokenness for you. And we say, okay, intellectually, I can receive that. But emotionally and psychologically, we live the rest of our life trying to demonstrate how worthy we are. But I like what that song said. When we say worthy, it's not about me. It's about Him. He is worthy. What's the end of the Lord's Prayer? Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Wow. Two last scriptures and I'm done. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Biggest thing you can imagine. Can you see yourself ministering in the power of God? Can you see yourself speaking a word to family and friends and them coming to faith in Jesus Christ? Can you see incredible things happening? Well, guess what? God can do more than that. You get the biggest dream you can get. You get the biggest vision you can get. And God says, I can still do more than that. And guess how it happens? According to the power that works in you. You know what I feel like, Pastor James? There's some awesome churches here in town. Life Song is one of many churches that are in town. But I just got this feeling that when we grasp the fact that God gives His power to unqualified people, and that He gives it freely, and that His power is working in me, there will literally be people from all over our city getting sick in their body, and it'll pop into their head, I got to get to Life Song, because they know how to pray, because they know how to display the power of God, because they believe that God can do anything, because they believe that no matter what my obstacle is, this God can take care of it. And it's already happened. I've seen it happen, Pastor James. Middle of the week, man, we'll be here, and people will walk through the door, and they'll say, we've heard that God does great things here, and you've got great faith, and I've got cancer in my body, and I need somebody to pray for me. We're like, we're right here. We believe that. We believe God wants to display His power through His people. Philippians 4:13, last thing. In fact, why don't you go ahead and stand? Musicians, you can come. Philippians 4:13. This is how it's done. This is how it's done. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. I cannot tell you how many times I have faced an obstacle and I have tried to figure out what's the best way I can get out of this? What's the best way that I can overcome this? And I'm telling you, when I try it in my own strength, trying to use my own intellect, if I've got any, trying to use my own resources, you know what happens? Not only does the obstacle not remove itself, but I get burnt out because I'm trying so hard in my flesh. Do you know what's amazing about the power of God? When you're willing to admit that it's not you, all it takes is a spark of faith in your life. And there's something so powerful about faith that even if it is small, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, which is about the size of a fleck of pepper. If you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, it can literally, you can speak to the mountain and command it to be removed and cast into the sea. Some of you are here today saying, I'm not a person of great faith. I'm not a person of great character. I'm not a person that has my act together. And God says, I'm just looking for a seed of faith. If you're willing to put your faith in me, I will unleash the power of heaven into your life. You say, man, it's been a long time. A lot of water under the bridge. Do you know that not long ago, some archaeologists in Egypt were digging around and they came across a sarcophagus of an Egyptian emperor, a pharaoh, that had been dead for 4,000 years. 4,000 years. And within that sarcophagus, they found several packets of seeds, including just a sprinkling of mustard seeds. And as part of a scientific experiment, they decided that they were going to take a few of those mustard seeds and plant them 4,000 years old and just see what happened. And when they planted them, they sprung to life. You say, man, it's been a long time. And I thought it was over for me. Let me tell you something. If you even have the slightest stirring in your spirit today, it is God that is working in you to give you the desire and the power to do His will.